This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Category 5 Hurricane Milton is roaring towards the west coast of Florida, and despite winds of 175 miles an hour, the biggest worry is potential for record storm surge. National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Jamie Rome says for people in those areas,
you're already hearing about evacuation orders all up and down the Florida west coast. It is imperative that people listen to those evacuation orders and follow them.
Vice President Kamala Harris held a ceremony marking a year since the October 7th attack at the Naval Observatory. Former President Donald Trump visited a site in New York City that's considered sacred among Hasidic Jews. A federal judge gave preliminary approval to a $2.78 billion settlement that would allow colleges to pay college athletes. And a sell-off to open the week on Wall Street, the S&P 500 down by 1%, the NASDAQ dropped 1.2%, the Dow was also down. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump in Juneau yesterday. It's his fourth campaign event in Wisconsin in 8 days. Republicans are said to be concerned about the enthusiasm and turnout machine behind Kamala Harris.
They say that Wisconsin is probably the toughest of the swing states to win. I don't think so at all.
Wisconsin has been decided by less than one percentage point in four of the last six presidential elections. The latest Marquette poll has Harris with a four-point lead. A new study finds Wisconsin's election system is more secure than other swing states. The nonprofit political research group Informing Democracy finds guidance from the Wisconsin Elections Commission leaves little room for local clerks to deviate from how they can do their work. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A man charged with homicide in Winona County is set to go on trial starting today. Adam Fravel is accused of killing Madeline Kingsbury in March of 2023. Investigators said Kingsbury was last seen with Fravel dropping off their two children at daycare. Her body was found 3 months later. Fravel faces four charges as the trial gets underway this week. The venue was changed to Blue Earth County, about 2 hours west of Winona. No cameras will be allowed in the courtroom. Jury selection is expected to last all week. Western Wisconsin Democrats held a Project 2025 town hall this weekend in La Crosse. Representative Jill Billings, Senator Brad Paff, and Congressman Mark Pocan talked about how Project 2025 would impact people living in the state's 3rd congressional district, such as reduction or elimination of Medicaid and Medicare, as well as fewer protections for reproductive rights. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, who campaigned in Juneau, Wisconsin over the weekend, denies any involvement with Project 2025. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Packers get the win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Rams 24-19. Tight end Tucker Kraft with two touchdown catches, including one that went for 66 yards.
Excellent play call. Like, we had that set up, and we were coming in for our second half adjustments. We liked the defense they were giving us on second and medium, so we dialed it up and we executed.
Wide receiver Romeo Doubs suspended by the team for not reporting to practice last week. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I fully anticipate him coming back. I'm hopeful that he'll come back.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 52-6 win over Purdue in Madison. The Badgers travel to Rutgers next. NBA, the Bucks open their preseason with a loss in Detroit, 120-87. Bobby Portis led with 16 points.
To help a team win, you know, I've learned this, to fight through it, go out there and play. At the end of the day, basketball remains the same. The game never changes.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures soaring to the upper 60s. We've got calmer winds and clear skies tonight, allowing our temperatures to fall to near 40. We get shoved a little warmer tomorrow to the low 70s under abundant sunshine. And with this dry stretch, we're still in an elevated fire risk. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
Right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Law Forward's General Counsel Jeff Mandel to talk about voting rights and the threat that the MAGA cult poses to our election processes.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Monday to us all. You can join us anytime, 855-752-4842. Have a big show lined up for you today. Thank you to everybody who helps put this thing together at Civic Media. We have Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She's going to join us at 4:30. Going to catch up with her in this political season. Also, our buddy Scott Ross, he is a Gen Xer, a Gemini, Mr. Ethics, and a firebrand friend of ours. He's going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour to catch up with Scott. The only, and do political analysis and observation, only way Scott Ross can. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock. And, of course, you on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. Lots of topics to get to today. And one I've been kind of avoiding. Today, October 7th, the one-year anniversary of the massacre of the Israelis by Hamas. And I remember when it came down and there was a concert going on. You see some of the video of these young adults just getting massacred or getting thrown in the trucks and taken hostages. Here we are a year later. Israel has war on a couple of fronts. Gaza's been basically diminished to rubble. The Palestinians are in a hell of a fight for their lives, and this war continues to seemingly expand. So, as a kid growing up, I'm 53 years old. I remember these struggles. I recall, reading the Newsweek magazines back when I was a kid. I'd take them off the parents' coffee table and flip through. There are some pretty cute little political cartoons in there that I always liked. But I remember very specifically some of the visual, the pictures of the war, of dead people. Mm-hmm. That they would show it. It always struck me. It's like, man, why does this happen? Why does this continue to go on? And here we are 50 years later, and it seems like we still are having this conversation. There was a piece, and thank you for sharing this with me, Josh, Thomas Friedman at the New York Times. I would recommend reading. He's got a good perspective, but I just want to read a few paragraphs from here, talking about the story. What is Israel trying to do? What are the Palestinians and Hamas? And here's one thing that Friedman pointed out, that Israelis are being asked to send their sons and daughters to fight every day against Hamas and Hezbollah foes, yet cannot be sure if they're going to war to save the state of Israel or the political career of their prime minister. But yep. Damn, that's a harsh observation. A little more from Friedman. Because there is more than enough reason to believe that Bibi wants to keep this war going, to have an excuse to postpone testifying in December at his corruption trial, to postpone an independent commission of inquiry as to how his government failed to prevent the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust, and to forestall new Israeli elections, maybe even to tilt our presidential election to Donald Trump. Netanyahu's far-right Jewish supremacist partners have told him they will topple his government if he agrees to stop the war in Gaza before an undefined, quote-unquote, total victory over Hamas, and if he tries to bring the West Bank Palestinian Authority, which has embraced the Oslo peace process, to help govern Gaza in the place of Hamas, something that Hamas greatly fears. A little more here. In the absence of a story, the absence of a story is also hurting Israel strategically. The more Israel has a legitimate Palestinian partner, like a reformed Palestinian Authority, the better chance it can get out of Gaza and not preside over a permanent insurgency there. The more allies will want to help create an international force to fill any vacuum in southern Lebanon. Then the more any Israeli military strike against Iran would be understood as making Israel safe to try to make peace with the Palestinians. Not safe for an Israeli annexation of the West Bank and Gaza, which is what some of Netanyahu's far-right supporters are seeking. Again, there's more to this article at the New York Times. I would suggest
you read
it. It will
be linked in the podcast.
Excellent. And he concludes, again, Thomas Friedman. So on this first anniversary of the October 7th attack, I find myself most preoccupied with the fact that Israel is fighting a multi-front war and Israelis still don't know whether they are fighting to make Israel safe for a Jewish democracy or safe for a prime minister's political survival, safe for the ultra-Orthodox to never have to serve in the military, and safe for the prime minister to declare that to the world that he is defending the frontier of freedom in Gaza and Lebanon while sustaining a morally rotten and economically draining settlement engine in the West Bank. The biggest threat to Israel today is not Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, or the Houthis. A united Israel can beat them all. It is those who are unraveling Israel's steel thread with a bad story. Thomas Friedman in the New York Times. And Jess, I knew when I saw you, I mean, it was impacting you. I knew I could see it on your face. And I like I said, I've been avoiding it all day. I just read some articles this morning. Like, I can't. It's just, I don't know if it's PTSD from the 9/11 thing, you know,
yeah,
all this.
It's been a year. It's been a year of this being a top news item every day. For me, it's quite personal. I'm a Jewish woman. My ethnicity is 100% Jewish. My ethnicity traces back to the Levant, to this region. I will remember October 7th, 2023 for the rest of my life. And I will remember the next day when I had to teach my children about war.
And how old are the kids you were teaching?
That day, the kids I was teaching were between 12 and 15. The next Wednesday, I had children who were 8 to 11 years old who came in with questions of what is happening? Am I safe here as a Jewish person? Why do people want to kill us?
What do you say to a kid like that? What do you say to an adult who asks those kinds of questions?
Well, with the kids, the first step is to reorient and to say, here, you are safe. And sometimes that means fibbing a little bit, because we do know that anti-Semitism has been on a huge rise here. Islamophobia has been on a huge rise here. People whose ethnicities trace back to this region have not necessarily been safe. And still, the first step is to reorient and say you are safe. That here, you are okay. You are thousands of miles away from this. And then you dig into, so what? So why am I feeling this pain?
Right.
If my body is safe, why does it feel like I'm not?
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to explain to kids. It's hard to explain to adults. And in Friedman's piece, Jess, you know, he talks about the ultra-Orthodox. And I saw some social media over the weekend as well. You know, it's, and I'm not a religious person. I do have some bloodline ethnicity going to the tribe. I'm 25% Jewish, 25% German, 50% Italian. You know, so I have family that practice Judaism. No, that's fine. Whatever gets you through the night, I'm fine with all that. But what I do have a big problem with, and I don't care what the religion is, or even if it's, you know, uber atheism, is the extreme orthodoxy that everyone else must be like this or X, Y, and Z will happen. And that happens with Christians, it happens with Muslims, it happens in every religion, it happens in the agnostic community and the atheists as well. So it's always extreme. And what we deal with as humanity then is having to handle, manage the extremes.
Yeah.
I heard an interview on MSNBC of a woman whose child, I'm assuming an adult young woman, is still a hostage. This mother was talking about her kid who is still a hostage a year later. And there's like, what, 100? There's still like 100 hostages, right?
There are 101 people
missing,
who were taken hostage.
And we don't even know.
It is unknown how many of them are still
alive.
Exactly.
And the angst in her voice, again, you know, if you have family, if you have kids, if you have any empathy whatsoever, you feel for this woman who wants to get her child back. And her position, as she explained it, was she grew up, you know, in Israel. She grew up in a peaceful family that supported a two-state system. That was
many of the communities that were hardest hit, these border communities, Notef Aza and this Gaza envelope, were working the hardest towards peaceful solutions, towards diplomatic solutions with land for these two groups of people who are indigenous to this region.
And they took the brunt of the attack.
Yes.
So, and it is, and this woman who also espoused the two-state solution, again, her daughter, a hostage, missing, maybe dead, we don't know. She's still grieving the fact and the process and the circumstances. Certainly, we all would. We all do. We are right now.
And
the extremes. We have to, how do we manage the extremes? How do we manage the hellfire types of the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims, and pick your religion, that if you don't believe what they want, or if you don't believe their version or their interpretation of their holy book, that all must die. That is.
We will tear ourselves to pieces. There's so much room and so much overlap of what we do believe.
Right.
Of treat the one who is not like you as if they were. If we can just look to those pieces.
But that's a great philosophy, but the political environment with Netanyahu, right? I mean, this guy is basically a Donald Trump, at least with the exception that he actually served his country.
He's incredibly much more competent.
Right. And freedom is questioned. Well, is this action, because being made now as it continues on, and you know, there's every day is an opportunity for a new path. Every single day, every moment of every day is an opportunity for something new and something different. If this guy is just hiding behind this war effort to avoid his own prosecution, to avoid his own elections, to stay in power, man, that certainly sounds like somebody we know.
It does.
So folks, yes, tragic anniversary today, October 7th, 1 year ago, Israel was attacked, and they have certainly responded, and the level of that response and the direction of that response and the length of that response, we, as a world, continue to deal with. I wish I had the answers. You know, in my own world, man, everyone just drop all your religion and love the one you're with. I mean, that seems good to me. How about we try that for a while? Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. We're going to get some of your calls in as well. Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin at 4:30. Scott Ross rolling in at 5 o'clock. We did have the former president, Donald Trump, was in Wisconsin again, saying all sorts of weird stuff, saying all sorts of lies and mumbling and stumbling. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, The Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is a call line, it is a text line, and we have a little bit of both, so let's get to them. Cam from Appleton noting, regarding our October 7 conversation, I'm not clear that it has any simple solution. Yeah, no doubt, man. Whether you have a faith or not, you can't ignore the historical facts that religious figures abuse power to influence what they feel the grand design should look like. Yes, and those folks you should run far and fast. I mean, everyone thinks they got the answers to everything. You know, I take that with a huge grain of salt. Like I say, the older I get, the dumber I get. Andrew from Maine, even if you had all the answers, Dom, would you be able to get anyone / the right people to listen?
Oh, we're trying.
isn't that kind of the mission here, Andrew? Thank you for playing along. Ross over at Crawford County said, this is a tough subject. Certainly is, man. You could imagine if Palestinians called in with their grievances. I'm not sure what America's role is, but we sure do seem to be tipping the scales in favor of Israel. Well, no doubt. Those are mostly our weapons, right? I mean, we supply. I mean, it's one thing we do great in this country. We build the war machine to feed the world, man. And I remember, what was it? It was during one of the debate. Maybe it was the vice presidential debate. Oh, you know, they're sending their immigrants north, and we're sending they're just sending their guns. I'm like, no, man. You know, the guns go out of the country.
Right.
The narcotics come into the country.
We don't actually import a whole lot, nor are people bringing them in unbidden. We do send a lot.
We do. I believe at one point we had a conversation with Senator Ron Johnson, and we were lamenting the fact that you were arming, I think it was Saudi, and they were going to war. And I'm like, well, why are we involved, man? Why don't we, you know, why are we selling these stuff? Well, you know, he says, well, they're going to buy the weapons from somewhere. The males will buy them from us. And
isn't that the argument that people use for letting their teens drink in their house?
Yep. Pretty much. I mean, it's kind of
they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it. They do it in my house.
May as well have our weapons. And our weapons are so much more accurate. There'll be actually less collateral damage. Great talking point, question mark. So, yeah, I mean, certainly. And like, Israel has the right to exist. I believe that. I mean, we know that even if you don't know the entirety of the world history of the Jewish people, you know, there was a thing called World War II, right? And if you believe, I know some of you megas don't, that the Holocaust happened, that there was a mass extermination of the Jewish people, And so, you know, we as a country, as a world decided, hey, we're going to make a spot for them.
And not just any spot. Let's remember that this is the land to which we are ethnically indigenous.
But as are other people.
As are other people.
I mean, and to not acknowledge that and to not support that and not to work towards
the two-state system. Be a one state. Personally, I think it needs to be a federation, but,
right,
you know.
And there are other Arab countries that have allied with or at least support Israel.
Yes.
And they have offered some help, some services, like, hey, we'll put some troops and we'll guarantee your safety, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, it really seems like Netanyahu is acting, you know, like the godfather, cleaning up all the family business on the last day, because he's got his own end in sight, be it his administration or be it his court cases and his investigations and corruption, so on and so forth. You know, it is a fair question, as Friedman points out, what is the motivation of the Netanyahu government? And like lots of situations, the people themselves are not necessarily the government. In this case, again, Israel is a democratic country. They got what they got, and you know, you go right, you go left, and the pendulum swings. But the people have a voice, and people have a vote. Some folks don't. Those, you know, the people of Lebanon, and I have Lebanese friends. If you're talking about Hezbollah, you're not voting for that. That's just what it is. It's just there. There's the gang in the neighborhood. Let's call it that. Very well armed from Iran.
Right.
Very similar with the Palestinian people. You know, I mean, Hamas is among them, certainly, but just because, you know, Hamas
was elected in 2006, and there has not been an election since.
Really? Not since, huh?
Not since.
Almost seems like they want to hold on to that power. So you can't put it all on the Palestinian people, certainly. And there are other options, certainly. And we're a year into this now, and we still do not know. We still don't have the hostages back, at least not alive. A few were saved, my understanding. Many were killed, and you know, we keep our fingers crossed for the ones that are still missing. But I am very concerned about a corrupt government, an ultra-Orthodox government, continuing to push Netanyahu. And come on, he's a part of that as well. I mean, the whole West Bank thing. I mean, you look at the map of what it is now versus what it was when it first started. It's entirely different. I get the wars and pushing and wanting the borders and a buffer over the years. Okay, but I'm not hearing any solutions or any two-state solution or even if Netanyahu wants to negotiate anything. And I get it, man. People are mad, and people might be mad at him because he was there. He was in charge when this happened.
Single week in the months leading up to October 7th, 2023, there were protests of hundreds of thousands of Israelis telling Netanyahu to get out.
They tried to change their judiciary over there, too, didn't they?
Netanyahu tried very hard.
855-752-4842. Mark, we'll squeeze you in. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks. And it's a horrible fratricidal battle that's going on over there right now between those two people that are ethnic cousins and closer than cousins in some cases. And Mike Johnson's a twit, and he should call the House back into session and approve the emergency funding that we're going to need for the multiple hurricanes we get whacked with this year. And you mentioned, you know, we're supplying weapons, all this. It popped into my head. There's an old Star Trek The Next Generation one now. Now it's old. But called the Arsenal. They went to a planet. It was the Arsenal of Freedom. And, you know, this planet that their main export was weapons, and the weapons wiped them out themselves. Mm-hmm. And the planet was still going on autopilot, you know, manufacturing weapons, whoever came. But it is just a endless circle that with the, you know, supplying the war machine. And
well, someone's got to do it, Mark. And, you know, if there's one thing that we do well, it's build the war machine. Thank you for the call, Mark. Folks, stick around. Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She's the chief strategy officer. She joins me next.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Last month was one of the driest Septembers in Wisconsin since 1940. Climatologists say Wisconsin's total rainfall for the month was a little more than an inch. Most of Wisconsin's counties reported rainfall between 2 and 3 inches below normal. Forecasters blame an area of high pressure over the Southwest and into the Pacific Ocean. 46% of Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette poll they've stopped talking to some friends, family, and coworkers over politics. Jane Gomez is a conservative from West Allis who says she plans to vote for Donald Trump.
I think that we jumped to conclusions too soon on both sides that we're not willing to discuss.
The Marquette poll shows voter divisions are starker now than the last two election cycles. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The spring election is several months away, but in La Crosse, one candidate has already declared to run for mayor. Shondell Washington Spivey, a former La Crosse school board member and community leader, will announce his campaign tomorrow. Mitch Reynolds is the current mayor. This week, the city council will review a proposal that would create a city administrator position to take on some of the duties currently done by the mayor's office, such as creating a city budget. That position would have a salary just under $200,000. No one is hurt after a fire at a La Crescent assisted living facility Saturday afternoon. The fire was reported at 3:31 p.m. to officials, who arrived a few minutes later to find the building visibly on fire. Staff was busy evacuating 17 residents when fire crews arrived. Dry, windy conditions caused the fire to spread to the entire building. Crews from six departments, including two from Wisconsin, worked to put out the fire. Several organizations, including the Red Cross, are helping residents with temporary housing. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There will finally be a premiere for the controversial film Rust. This is the film starring Alec Baldwin. Baldwin accidentally fired a gun on the set that had a live round in it, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins in 2021. Baldwin was facing an involuntary manslaughter charge until the judge dismissed it. In addition to being the lead actor, Baldwin is also a producer on the film. He will not attend the premiere, which will be at the Camera Image Film Festival in Poland this November. If you're already looking to make plans in 2026, make sure you carve out a couple hours for a Super Mario Bros. Part 2. Keegan-Michael Key, the voice of Toad, told Men's Journal that the Mario universe is about to expand, saying a new film will include very intriguing lore and lots of really fantastic Easter eggs. I'm assuming people that are fans of the video game have an idea of what I'm talking about, because I sure don't. Chris Pratt will return to voice the part of Mario. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures soaring to the upper 60s. We've got calmer winds and clear skies tonight, allowing our temperatures to fall to near 40. We get shoved a little warmer tomorrow to the low 70s under abundant sunshine. And with this dry stretch, we're still in an elevated fire risk. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice, and for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Earl Ingram Jr. joins us at 10:33. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review at 11, will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Super jazzed to introduce to you our fair audience, Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Michelle, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate it.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. It's been a while. I want to get right to it. It's election season. Before I get into the strategies and the election itself, can you articulate for our audience the differentiation between Planned Parenthood and the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin provides the health care, sexual and reproductive education, and Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is the policy arm. So the lobbying, the electoral work, the civic engagement. Someone recently said it, I thought, really well. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is the mission, and Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is the survival of that mission.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle, for articulating that. I wanted to start with the 200 pregnant individuals that have been facing criminal charges following Dobbs. I saw the statistic on Twitter, and it was shocking to me that this is where we're at already. Michelle, can you dive into some of those numbers a little bit for us?
Sure. So, you know, post-Dobbs has really caused a lot of confusion and fear amongst both physicians as well as people who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. And there's this sort of continual chipping away, right, of sort of abortion access. So first it's, well, you know, we have Roe, and then it's, well, we can enact laws pre-viability as long as they meet certain criteria. And no, we don't want to punish the pregnant person ever, but we are definitely seeing an erosion of those things. Yeah. You know, for example, in the state of Louisiana, a law was passed not too long ago, earlier this year, that reclassifies abortion medication as a controlled substance. And possession of controlled substance comes with an entire host of, you know, of other problems and complications and potential prosecutions for possession without a prescription, et cetera. So there's, you know, as much as folks want to sort of say, well, all Dobbs did was return this to the states, and pregnant people would never be prosecuted, I think that the reality is this is certainly a movement on the other side of things, and the anti-choice movement, to criminalize abortion for everybody and to somehow get to a national ban. And whether that national ban comes through an act of legislation or just through this like really complicated web of laws that differ state by state to create that confusion, to create that fear, that's what their goal is.
Michelle, I recall Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson not so long ago when talking about the potential, I believe, unless they even overturned yet at the point of, well, you know, if abortion becomes illegal in the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin women can just go to Illinois. It'll be a little messy, but, you know, that's the solution. Michelle, it has been messy, and people are moving or going to other states for their medical care. And in fact, as you mentioned, some doctors are waiting for, you know, the infection for sepsis to occur prior to them actually conducting the healthcare that is needed for the person. And if they wait too long, as it has happened, my understanding, Michelle, women have died because people are sitting on their hands because of this legislation, because they don't want to be liable.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I recall that comment. That is a very ignorant thing to say, certainly not rooted in the reality of either physicians or pregnant people, or just the realities of people in this state trying to get health care. So, you know, take abortion out of it, you know, I think, and just think about whether or not you would want either yourself or your loved ones or your, you know, family or friends or community members to have to travel out of state for health care. Would you want your physician to have to call three lawyers to figure out whether or not they can provide the life-saving care they know that you need. Their medical professional judgment is you need this care or you are going to, your life is at risk, your health, your future fertility is at risk. And those are the questions that physicians are really grappling with every single day. You know, not to mention the sort of reality of the both the emotional and the financial toll that having to travel out of state takes on people. A study from UW Core showed that even traveling from like the general Milwaukee area to Illinois was an average of about a $1,200 cost.
Wow.
And that's a shorter distance. And then when you are traveling longer distances or having to take multiple days off from work because maybe you have to stay overnight, whatever the case might be, that just adds to it. And in the and the reality is that most people can't afford a $400 to $500 unexpected expense.
Yeah.
And so to just sort of be that dismissive really is not being in tune with the reality of the people in this state.
Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, joining me via the stream. Election season, Michelle, I mean, is the advocates, are you involved in getting people signed up to vote, getting them out there? What's the effort been what's the effort going to be for the last 30 days here, Michelle?
Yeah, so Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin really runs a year-round organizing and civic engagement program. So our organization has been talking to communities even prior to the Dobbs decision about what that decision would mean for people in the state, and then connecting the dot of what actions people sitting in power could take to make sure that abortion and other sexual reproductive health care was protected and still accessible in this state. So this is really a year-round ongoing effort. In an electoral season, advocates endorses candidates, there's canvases, phone banking, volunteers are, you know, doing a whole host of actions and activities to inform people about what issues are sort of on the ballot right now. And where the candidates stand on those issues. And then, you know, a really big get out the vote effort with how do you register? What do you need? Where's your polling place? All of those things just to really hopefully get people out and exercising their right to vote.
Speaking of endorsements, I haven't seen, so I'll ask Dr. Kristen Lyerly running up in the Green Bay area. Very articulate on the issue of abortion, being as she's a medical provider. Have you seen her candidacy? Have you seen her in action? And what do you think the chances are up in that congressional district?
Yeah, so actually the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, which is the national organization for Planned Parenthood, they manage all of our federal endorsements. And it's my understanding they have endorsed her candidacy. I am aware of her campaign. I've seen her speak recently and just really be able to explain to people the realities of what it's like to provide that care and how complicated these medical issues are. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's a complicated decision for the individual. And all of those decisions should be respected and that people, we should trust the people whose lives, you know, their own life to make their own decisions. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know much about that area in terms of where the polls are and things like that, but certainly she is an advocate for abortion access and sexual reproductive health care more broadly.
Michelle, I think on the federal level, the Harris-Walz campaign have done a really good job framing this as a freedom argument, as a freedom discussion. I want to get your sense on that. How do you think this is going? How do you think it's being received as a messaging from the vice president?
I think that's really great messaging. I mean, I think, you know, the way that Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin frames this and the way that Planned Parenthood framed this in its original action is that this isn't a question of a fundamental right as a human being to control your own life in your own body and to have that bodily autonomy and agency to make your own decisions in this case about whether and when to become a parent, how to grow your family. So things like IVF would be included in that umbrella. And so it's not just about abortion. I think sometimes people think that's the only thing. This is the entire spectrum of sexual and reproductive health care. And when you sort of strip some of those things away, it's this fundamental right to control the course of your life and make those decisions for yourself and for your family, seeing as how you are the expert in your own life, I think. And so I think that is, you know, I think that's effective. And I think it resonates because it sort of broadens the picture to a whole host of other fundamental rights that, you know, frankly, have been called into question following the Dobbs decision. And so there's sort of I'm hoping people are seeing the connection between democracy and bodily autonomy.
And Michelle, the you mentioned body autonomy and agency. I mean, I don't think this is something that should be decided state to state. You know what I mean? How is this not a human right that must be done on the federal level?
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can't have a country with this sort of patchwork of laws and restrictions and regulations. The right to control your reproductive life should not depend on which state you live in. The type of access to healthcare you get should not depend on which state you live in. And unless or until we are able to deal with that nationally, we still have to deal with that here in Wisconsin. So that means, you know, we have to see how the courts play out in the two cases before it. And there's a legislative path as well to ensuring that Wisconsinites' rights and fundamental freedoms are protected and that people can actually exercise those rights. So we have to repeal some of these terrible laws that made Roe not really a reality for everybody.
Folks, that is Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, for just a couple more minutes. Michelle, I wanted to get your opinion on the comments of the former president and current Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump referencing and talking about post-birth abortions. You know, they take the baby and then they kill the baby after the baby is born. I've done a little research on this, Michelle. I've not seen this anywhere. That would seem like murder to me. What's your take on the misinformation and, frankly, the lies being peddled around this topic and many others, frankly?
Yeah, I think that's always really dangerous, right? The discourse should be really rooted in fact, and in this case, medical facts. So abortion is a medical term for the ending of a pregnancy or termination of a pregnancy for any reason, whether it's spontaneous, so like a miscarriage, or by decision, or by some sort of medical intervention that becomes necessary to save the life or protect the health of the pregnant person. This idea of a post-birth abortion is exactly what you said. That's homicide. There are many statutes in Wisconsin and in every single state that make homicide illegal. So nobody's arguing that doctors should be able to kill a baby after it is born. But that is not the question up here. It's a really offensive way to talk about this, I think. So it's just, there's no basis in fact.
Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. She's the Chief Strategy Officer. Michelle, if folks want to get more involved, find out what they need to do to vote, maybe donate a few bucks or volunteer their time to your organization, how would you suggest they go about doing so?
So they can do that so many different ways. They can go to the website at ppawi.org to see the candidates that have been endorsed, to sign up for information so they'd get regular emails. There are volunteer opportunities. They can follow Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on social media. And really importantly, they can talk to their friends, families, people in their network about this issue.
Thank you, Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're going to do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks' notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step two, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step three, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. I want to thank our most recent guest, Michelle Velasquez, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. She's the Chief Strategy Officer. You can check them out on the Twitters, online. They do the good work. They're fighting for reproductive rights here in the state of Wisconsin, and you should join them. No, women should not have to go to Illinois to get this medical procedure done. They should not have to travel out of state for their health care. No, Senator Ron Johnson. Yes, it is messy. Yes, doctors. And it's not like our healthcare system in this country is easy to navigate as it is. Then throw in the possibility of prosecution from your overbearing government. And really want to thank Michelle. And one thing I didn't get to it, you know, I talk about the messaging and how the vice president is framing this discussion as a matter of freedom, as a matter of autonomy and agency, and that not only should women, people have this freedom, but it should not be the government's responsibility to force a birth. You imagine forced government birthing? Can you ever imagine a situation where you could think that that's a great idea? Hey, let's have forced government birthing. We don't want to have the kid. Well, you're going to have it anyway because we said so. Because we're men and we make the decision on what you have to do with your body. They're not pro-life. If they were pro-life, they probably have, you know, something to say about, I don't know, gun safety regulation, for example. Maybe if they're pro-life, maybe they'd be down for, you know, feeding the kids at school. You know, maybe a little breakfast, a little lunch. Maybe they'd be down for that. They're pro-life. Maybe they, I don't know, tax the corporations appropriately so they pay their fair share. And granted, that's a subjective number. But for every dime they don't, that's another dime that has to be borrowed and put on the backs of our children. Right, Republicans? Isn't that what you talk about? Isn't that what you're so concerned about? 855-752-4842. Former President Donald Trump rallied supporters in Dodge County for nearly 2 hours on Sunday. Oh, my God. 2 hours. People are glutton for punishment. For nearly 2 hours in his fourth Wisconsin event in 9 days as he and Harris crisscross the critical swing state ahead of next month's election. Allison Durr, Hope Carnop reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. On Sunday, Trump and other top Republicans framed the election in existential terms and urged supporters to vote. "If we lose this election, the country is finished. I really believe that this country is finished," Trump told a crowd at a campaign official estimated number to be about 17,000. And we played some more in the last hour, I guess, and Maggie Dawn's hour. We heard some.
Which show
are we talking about? We recently played some cuts, and perhaps we'll get to them in the next hour at 5:30. Speaker Mike Johnson was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos and was being asked about the tone of guys like Donald Trump and his sons. "Oh, they're trying to kill me," essentially, mm-hmm. blaming the Democrats for the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. And Mike Johnson's response was, "Well, the crowd was really big. He had a really big crowd." I was like, "What, dude?"
Oh, he's learned so well.
"If we lose this election, the country is finished. I really believe the country is finished." We do have a little bit of sound, and then we'll get to the calls. I promise. 855-752-4842. He was talking about the evangelicals, and here's an old man cut, because this guy is getting worse and worse and worse. And maybe he's tired. I mean, jawboning for 2 hours away. Isn't that what I do? "But I'm young. I can do this all day long. Donald Trump, he's a little old. And I think I actually might actually prep a little more. Not much, but just a little bit more." Let's jump down to cut four, please, Jess.
Sure.
"I'll tell you another one. Just don't vote. I love these people. Evangelical.
Are you
Christians.
Sure? Are you sure?
The Christian community.
Start it over. We talked over. Okay. I was so excited to hear. Okay, here we go.
"I'll tell you another one. Just don't vote. I love these people. Evangelical Christians. The Christian community doesn't vote as much as they should."
Yeah. The point was, and he does this a lot. He does it a lot. Now, I don't play it every time, but I see it. And I think I should, because folks, there is definitely a decline. Everything that you heard about Joe Biden, and Joe Biden probably acknowledged it, because you know why? He's no longer the presidential candidate. At least he basically admitted it. What about Trump, man? What about the 78-year-old up there having a hell of a time getting the words out?
Yeah. And I mean, I said it to you when I was editing it. His vocal consistency is out the window.
Yeah.
He cannot maintain a constant volume because he's going away from the microphone and then back into it. And he's just trailing off on his thoughts.
He talks over here. It's not great.
It's garbly gook.
It's garbly gook for sure. What else we got? Let's hear cut two, please, Jess.
"We're going to recover fast. But if you go 4 more years, you may never recover. In fact, I will say, some people say it. I think
some
it's very severe, but I can understand it. Some people say you'll never have an election again. This would be your last election."
It's ironic he's saying that about it. Harris, because, of course, I'm not sure we'd have another election with him. Tom, I give you a 45 seconds, man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, Dom?
Hey, Tom.
First off, I just want to say that I hope everybody gets a chance to go see this movie. It's on Amazon Prime, and it is called The Game Is Up. It's Disillusioned Trump Voters Tell Their Stories.
Ooh.
It's people that broke away from the cult, and it's just a very, very good documentary. So I'd recommend that to everybody out there to check it out. It's again, it's The Game Is Up. Disillusioned Trump Voters Tell Their Stories.
Right on, Tom. Thank you. I will check it out. The game is not up. We're still going in the next hour. Scott Ross, he's a Gen Xer, Gemini, Mr. Ethics, a firebrand, and a friend of ours. He's going to bring the party home.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago film critic and historian Maria Gates. And Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum joins me in studio to discuss upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.